Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the three P's of our profession. As Christians, we should be doing three things. Number one, preaching the gospel throughout all of the world. Number two, preparing disciples to serve God and Jesus Christ. And number three, providing for people in need. Those are the three P's of our profession. Today we want to talk about the third P of our profession, which is providing for people in need, and to ask the question specifically, should the church, the corporate body of Christ, should the church be a welfare system for its members? And the answer is yes and no. So let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we'll read verses 3 through 16 to see God's mind on this. And you'll see that the answer is yes and no when the question is asked, should the church, the corporate body, should the church act as a welfare system for its members? This is in the first book of Timothy, chapter 5, and verses 3 through 16. This first answer is talking about yes. It says here, honor widows who are really widows. And we're going to see how God says that we should honor these widows. And we're also going to see what God defines as a real widow. So he starts off by saying, honor widows who are really widows. But, on the other hand, if a widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to respect their own family by repaying their parents. So this they has to do with the children and the grandchildren. All right. These children and grandchildren should respect their own parents or grandparents by repaying their parents or grandparents for all that their parents have done for them. And I know that some of you may come from families where your parents haven't done much for you. All they did was provide the sperm and the egg. That's about it. Then they deserted you. Well, still God says that we should honor our mothers and fathers. And if we are to be Christians, meaning that we have Christ in us, then we should love those who have despitefully used us. We should love those who have persecuted us. We should love those who are, in many respects, unlovable. We should be taking the first step to love people, because it's through love that we can break down the walls of bitterness in other people's hearts. It's through love that we can cause people to repent, to say, you know what, I really did this person wrong. I don't deserve what they're giving to me, and look at all this love they're showing me. I need to show appreciation. I need to change my ways. Isn't that what God the Father and Christ have done for us? After all, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, while we were not in the picture. Christ died for us so that he could, through his love, and the Father through his love, bring us into communion with them, to have a relationship as a child with our parents. And so, again, honor your mother and father, honor your grandparents, make the first step, even if you're in one of those kind of situations where your parents haven't really done a lot for you. Now, it's a totally different situation. If your parents are violent and they're abusive, then wisdom says to stay away. So these widows, we're talking about honoring widows who are really widows, and a part of the definition of a real widow is not only someone who is without her husband, if it's a woman, or a widower, a man who is without his wife, but it's also talking about a man or a woman, obviously, as we're going to see also later, someone who's at an elderly age, and someone who doesn't have children or grandchildren to take care of them. Those are the type of people that the church as a corporate body should provide for. We should be their welfare system. And we're not looking at welfare in a negative term. The word welfare, it means so that a person can fare well. We want them to fare well. And not fare well as in goodbye, but to fare, to do good, to be well. That's what we want for people. So yes, in a positive sense, we should use this word welfare. We should be a welfare system for widows, widowers, elderly people who do not have their husbands or wives anymore, and who do not have children or grandchildren to take care of them. So going back to verse 3, it says, or verse 4 rather, but if a widow has grandchildren or children, then these children must first learn to respect their own parents or grandparents by repaying them, for this is pleasing in God's sight. In verse 5, a woman who is really a widow and is left all alone, that's the definition. A woman who is really a widow because she has been left all alone, she doesn't have her husband, she doesn't have children or grandchildren, then this person has placed their hope in God. And God does say that he will provide for the widows and the orphans, right? So how does God do that? Well, he does that through the church, through the corporate body, through a welfare system of the church. And this person has placed her hope in God and devotes herself to petitions and prayers night and day. Now in verse 6, but the widow who lives for pleasure is actually dead while she lives. Continue to give these type of widows instructions so that they may be blameless. In other words, if this widow is not depending on God and devoting herself to petitions and prayers night and day, if they're out there living a carnal way of life, frankly, then we need to tell these widows that they need to change their way of life so that they can be blameless without this bad reputation, and then we'll be able to give them the assistance. In verse 8 it says, if anyone does not take care of his own relatives, especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we're talking about, again, these children and grandchildren. They should be taking care of their own family members. But the same principle applies to the church. If this spiritual mother of ours or grandmother of ours that doesn't have any physical children or grandchildren and her husband is deceased, then we, as children of this widow, of our spiritual mother or grandmother, we should be providing for her just as if she was our own physical mother or grandmother. Okay? And it says in verse 9, a widow may be put on the widow's list, and this is for financial support, this welfare system. A widow may be put on the widow's list, and then Paul gives a couple of instructions, if she is at least 60 years old and has been the wife of one husband. So in other words, that this woman is at the elderly age where it's much more difficult to get a job, to take care of herself. Maybe there's a lot of ailments that the person has at this point in their life. And this is the person who has lived, you know, a decent life where they haven't had, you know, multiple husbands because they just get married and, you know, then get divorced, get remarried, get divorced, and end up having 5-6 husbands. No, this is a woman who's obviously striving to be a good person, a faithful wife. So these are some of the qualifications. Then in verse 10, give some more. She must be well known for her good works as a woman who has raised children, welcomed strangers, washed the saints' feet, helped the suffering, and devoted herself to doing good in every way. So in other words, if the church is evaluating a person, should we put this widow on the widow's list to provide for them, in other words, to take care of all of their needs? It might mean making sure that they have an apartment to live in, or living in someone's house, but making sure that they have safe and decent shelter, making sure that they have food to drink, water, of course, to drink, liquids, making sure that they have their medical expenses taken care of. In other words, just really supporting this person. The type of person that should be put on the widow's list is the person that demonstrates a lot of these qualities, that she's been someone who's been helping other people, and now it's her time to be helped, and by all means the church, the corporate body, should rally around her, put her on the widow's list or the welfare list to say, this is a person we're going to take care of. And then it says in verse 11, but do not include, now this is where we're saying, no, the church should not act as a corporate welfare system. There's another qualification where we say, no, you're not going to be put on the widow's list. But do not include younger widows on your list. For whenever their natural desires cause them to lose their devotion to Christ, they want to remarry. So this is a person that, you know, is obviously younger, and they may just, you know, be put on the welfare list, and then they go back out and they want to remarry. So Paul is saying this is one of the criteria that you use to evaluate whether they should be put on the list. So for the younger widows, don't put them on the list. They receive, or they will receive, condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge, which their pledge was to say, I'm a widow, I have time, I will devote myself to serving within the church. And so therefore, the church is saying, really, that's your work, so we're paying you in a sense. It's still not saying that a person shouldn't be doing something, that they can just lay around all day watching soap operas or something else. No, you still should be, if nothing else, because you're not physically able to do anything else, at least you need to be praying for people. And in a sense, that's your job. So we're willing to pay for you to do these kind of things in that sense of the word. Okay, so the other women, though, they may forsake their pleasure. The younger women, they may say, well, I don't want to serve the church, I'm going back out there and having my fun and getting married. So don't even put them on the payroll in the first place in that sense. Now in verse 13 it says, at the same time they also learn how to be lazy while going from house to house. So these younger women that aren't working, if they're not serving in the church, then they're just going to be lazy going from house to house. Not only this, but they even become gossips and keep busy by interfering in other people's lives, saying things that they should not say. Therefore, I want younger widows to remarry, have children, manage their homes, and not give the enemy any chance to ridicule them. And then in summary, in verse 16, Paul says, under the inspiration of God, with these women that should not be on the welfare roll, on the payroll of the church, so to speak, it says the church should not be burdened so that it can help those who really are widows. And the same principle applies to other situations. For instance, you may have a person who is physically challenged, or even slightly mentally challenged. If these people cannot take care of themselves, if they don't have other family members to help take care of them, then by all means, it is within the church's responsibility, and it should be within the church's heart, to help these people fully because they have needs. That's the mind of God on the subject. Thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you join me on the next program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.